As we get older, our quality of life depends to a great extent on where we live. Staying in our homes gives seniors a better sense of control and security, though sometimes it's not possible because of medical needs and other issues. But having a place of our own, along with a way to get out of the house as necessary, is crucial to seniors' quality of life. Andrew Gruber is Executive Director of the Wasatch Front Regional Council and a member of the Utah Foundation Board of Trustees. He summed up the problem.
If you're living in your home and you're a senior and you can't drive, then you need the transportation services to give you access. And if you don't have those services, there's isolation that can come along with it. And so one of the solutions is providing enough housing choices so that people have somewhere to move to, and that helps with the functionality of the overall housing market.
You're listening to Utah Thrives, the Utah Foundation podcast. I'm Dan Bommas. Andrew Gruber was speaking at an event looking at issues involving seniors' housing and transportation, sponsored by the Utah Foundation and HNTB, an architectural and infrastructure design firm. What may be the ideal living situation for seniors who can afford it was a topic on the table, along with transportation for seniors in some of Utah's sparsely populated rural areas. The panel discussion opened with Professor Elizabeth Fouth from the Human Development and Family Studies Department at Utah State University.
About 1 in 10 people in Utah are over the age of 65 now, and by 2065, that's expected to be about 1 in 5. So not only are the numbers of older people increasing in our state, but also the proportion is changing significantly, so we'll have more older people proportionally. We know that with age, there's changes in physical health, sometimes cognitive health, and you know, all of this is normative. To see some changes, what we want to really think about are when those changes start to impact people's daily life. So we can think about this as a process where there's probably some kind of chronic disease or underlying pathology that's happening in the body, and maybe that's no problem. Maybe it's something like changes in cartilage that's developing arthritis. So for some people, you can live a long time with arthritis, and there might be some disadvantages, but it's not going to impact your daily life. But what we really, when things really matter, is when people lose the ability to do their daily activities. And that's when people transition into disability. And what we want to focus on today is the important role that like environment and space and place play in this disablement process. So the easiest example I can give is that somebody that has fairly advanced arthritis, they have significant mobility issues. If they're living in an apartment on the first floor, they're able to get in and out of their apartment with no problem, they're able to access transportation services, then this person is, you know, may not be disabled. They're able to do their daily life with their impairment. But if you have somebody that's living on the third floor of an apartment building with stairs and no elevator, this person now becomes disabled. So the role of the environment is really, really important when we think about how people age and how people can age in place. So talking about that term place is also really important today. We have, when we think about aging in place, most people think about like the home that they grew up in, or the home that your parents are in right now. And that's, you know, the sort of micro level place. We also want to think about place as broader and as community and neighborhood. And I think a lot of our speakers today will be addressing that, the importance of you know, how well this environment is helping people age, and knowing that an environment can be a really good fit and can help people age well, or the environment can actually cause problems and actually cause people to be more disabled than they normally would be. So territory is kind of part of place, the actual geographic boundaries of where people live. But place is also the social and the psychological aspects. So if you think about the concept of place, you know, it is home. It's not just house. It's the feelings you get when you're home. It's the privacy you get. It's the safety that you feel. You know, sometimes it's like waking up in the middle of the night with the lights off and knowing where things are in your own space gives people some comfort. So we want to think about place very broadly, as both the territory and as the meeting the people's psychological and social needs.
Also on the panel, Summit Vista CEO Walter Klein. His company has imagined and designed what they believe is an ideal situation for senior living.
Summit Vista is not just a regular independent living, assisted living, memory care community. It's 104 acres, and it's a big project. Our project completion is going to be scheduled around 2032, 2033. Right now, it consists of a 65,000 square foot clubhouse with six residential towers that attach five to six stories for each of to the clubhouse. We just recently started our second phase, which is another 65,000 square foot clubhouse with another five buildings that are about six stories tall. And then we do it a third time on the property, another 65,000 square foot clubhouse with another five residential towers. So in total, we'll have three clubhouses, and we'll have about 16 residential towers holding around 1,600 units, ranging from 800 square feet to 2,200 square feet. That's just the independent living side of it. The other side of it is the assisted living that we have, a memory care that we have, as well as the skilled nursing. So it's a life plan community. It's Utah's first and only life plan community. And what we do is we provide an environment where when people move into this type of environment in the independent living side, we guarantee care for the rest of their life. And it's an entrance deposit community. These entrance deposits can range anywhere from, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars to well over $1 million, depending on the size of the apartments that we have. We have swimming pools, we have fitness centers, we have personal trainers, we have salons, we have a bank in the community, we have a marketplace in the community, a grocery store in the community, a lot of just different spaces for residents to be able to do what they want to do. We also have a community life director that actually helps residents coordinate their own programs. In fact, each of the residents are very independent, and they have about 40 different resident-driven programs, all the way from choirs to sewing. We have a wood shop in the community as well. And we create an environment where people feel actually like life has started again. In fact, oftentimes at Summit Vista, we say that when you move to Summit Vista, we reverse the aging process because people are very, very happy and they actually do very, very well. Oftentimes they come from homes or apartments where they live alone, maybe their spouse has passed away, or even if they're a couple that lives in a home that's been there for 40 years and they have to take care of everything, they still don't get that social environment and that interaction. So when they move to Summit Vista and they choose a life plan community, what it really does is it helps them feel like that they're going to be taken care of for the rest of their life, which they will be. It helps their family feel like that they don't have to actually do that work and take care of their family, which helps out the both of those environments. And then knowing that no matter what, at the end of the day, Summit Vista will write the check for their health care if they ever run out of money. So it doesn't matter whether they're going to be full-time skilled nursing, eventually have to move over to memory care. It's a process of financially qualifying, but once you run out of money, Summit Vista writes the check and they never have to worry about their care the rest of their life. And that's what a life plan community is all about.
A member of the audience pointed out the ideal environment of Summit Vista is limited to those who can afford to pay that substantial deposit up front.
What kind of research did you do? I'm assuming that you did some research to figure out as far as what percentage of the population that would be going to your facility is able to afford the most basic package that you've got there?
Well, definitely do a lot of market research, and we definitely spend a lot of money in marketing. It'd be surprising. We have individuals that are worth $50 million that move in, and we have individuals that were high school calculus teachers, you know? It's all over the place. Most of the individuals that can afford to move in actually have a home and they have equity in their home. And that's what they use. They basically sell their homes, they trade that in for their interest deposit. And that interest deposit's 80% refundable too. So at the end of the day, most people will never use their interest deposit if they need that, and it goes back to their beneficiaries when they move on. So you'll be surprised how you could actually qualify. Also, on our other side, on the assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing, we do have new choice waiver, things like that for state Medicaid.
For seniors who are not in that fortunate position, getting out of the house for medical appointments, grocery shopping, or other needs presents a challenge. It's something that Trista Lorenz from Utah Transit Authority says they've been consistently working on.
So at UTA, we have developed a pilot program called it's a referral line and some temporary trips. The purpose of the referral line is a dedicated phone number where people can call in if they have a specialized transportation need. We ask a series of questions to qualify them, and then we refer them out to community partners. So like you saw in the video, Salt Lake County Aging, Weber County Aging, Turn Community Services, we have lots of community partners that we refer them to, and then they will go through a long-term process, or a qualification process, with them to get that long-term transportation solution met. In the meantime, the second phase of this project is called temporary trips. And we have secured grant funding that after somebody gets qualified for a long-term, or while they're getting qualified for a long-term organization, they are sent to me if they have an urgent transportation need to get to the doctor's office, the pharmacy, what we're calling life critical appointments. So pharmacy, grocery store, the senior center, if COVID taught us anything, it's that social isolation for our aging adults was not a good thing. And for some people with food insecurity, that congregate meal might be the only meal they get in a day. So we feel like that's a really, really important place for them to get to. Some people are having to go back into the workforce. And so if they need to get to and from work, well, they're finding a long-term solution. And then a case-by-case basis, I have some unique scenarios that we've been able to help.
For UTA and other agencies, that funding issue is critical. They're relying on what's called a 5310 grant from the Federal Transit Administration. Sissy Morton, who coordinates transportation programs for seniors in Tooele County, says it's just one of the resources she's trying to pull together in one of Utah's largest counties by area. She says one program has proven to be successful, even though she was originally skeptical.
So they come out, we did a study, and Tooele County was a good fit for the microtransit. I didn't think the microtransit would work with our seniors because it's an on-demand service, and there's no pre-scheduling. You call dispatch, and we pick up. We try to fill the vehicles. I just didn't think the seniors were going to do it. And guess what? The seniors love it. And it's their highlight. So they get to, they don't have to pre-schedule their appointment. They can call at the last minute. The seniors use my dispatchers to schedule the rides because they're not savvy with the cell phones, and the young generation is. But the two different generations, they're clicking and they like it. And it's been amazing to watch. I also operate it's Senior Medical to Salt Lake, and that is ran off of volunteers. Not shy about recruiting volunteers. So I walk in Walmart, everybody ignores me, okay? my mom's been a volunteer. I've had an uncle be a volunteer, friends, and I've had just stranger come in to be a volunteer. As of today, we have 7 volunteers. We run transportation Monday through Friday, at least one trip into Salt Lake with the volunteers. How that works is they pick the seniors up at their home, and they take them to their medical appointment, and they wait for them. They'll walk them to the building, and get them, and then bring them back home and walk them to their door. It's no cost, so we do a suggested donation. And this is how much it's costing us. If you have anything, you can donate. If you don't, throw the letter away. That's why I tell them all, throw the letter away.
Sissy Morton tells a personal story about how critical it is to find ways to help those seniors with transportation needs, even when they don't fit neatly into a program's requirements.
So he told me that he has given his whole life to the country. He spent 27 years working for the Tooele Army Depot, and then him and his wife both. He retired from the Tooele Army Depot, and he went to work at Stansbury Golf Course doing their yards. They wasn't rich, but they was able to pay their bills. They had a good life together. Him and his wife did everything together. So this is the first time in 60 years that they'd been apart. So he got signed up for Medicaid, He had to sign half of everything over. So now he doesn't have the income to pay for everything that they had before. And he took his, and his wife's in assisted living care in Salt Lake, because Tula has nothing for dementia. He has no transportation to go visit his wife, and his daughter is too busy to take him in there and spend more than a half hour. My Salt Lake shuttle is for medical. And I've had to do it that way, or I wouldn't be able to do anything. But before I finish the story, let's let you all know, we are taking him in to see his wife. I told him once or twice a week. He says he goes in and sees his wife, and he's being rushed. And his wife has dementia. And she cries, because she wants him to take her home. And she doesn't understand why he's leaving her there. But I started thinking, so this is the kind of story that people need to know.
Along with mobility, the need for a safe and appropriate place to live is central to serving seniors. Paul Leggett, Salt Lake County's Director of Aging and Adult Services, says agencies like his need to think about how to help those who don't have the advantage of staying in a home that they own.
You know, if we can be more comfortable talking about aging, those conversations won't be a surprise for people. People call us, they call the other area agencies on aging in crisis. If they were accessing medical transportation, Meals on Wheels, along that journey of getting older, the ability to support and intervene and make aging intentional for them is so much easier. And I think that the thing that sticks in my mind is the renters, the people that don't own their own home. I think those are the folks that I'm worried about, because I agree, if you have an asset like a home, your opportunity for mobilizing that in your later years is high. But if you're a renter and you don't have that, that's where I would love to see our legislature engage in a conversation about those people that can't get there because they don't have an asset.
As the discussion concluded, Utah Foundation President Sean Tigan promised they'll be coming back to this issue soon.
The Utah Foundation is going to get on the road and visit communities around the state to highlight some of the things that communities are doing right, and perhaps fill in some areas where there may be some shortcomings. So keep an eye out for that. We're going to be coming to a neighborhood near you to discuss that with particularly with city council members and planners and representatives in cities around the state.
You can find all of the Utah Foundation's research reports, briefs, podcasts, and events on our website at utahfoundation.org. Utah Foundation is an independent research group with a mission to inform and engage Utahns with illuminating, independent, nonpartisan public policy research. I'm Dan Bomas. Thanks for listening.